And who better than the brand new voice of the franchise? Yeah, we harken back 15 years to Pullman for that one. 68-yard bomb from Dennis Dixon. On Twitter, use the handle at Jordan Kent. Jordan, good to hear from you. How are things going for you and your family during these, let's call them, most unique times?
Well, things have been interesting for my family and I. We actually grew our family two weeks ago, so we have our second son who just joined us Sunday, November 1st. And so things are still a whirlwind here, but it's really nice to have some extra time with the boys at this moment.
You know, before we get to the now, you tweeted that play out over the weekend, the often forgotten 2005 team that, you know, won 10 games. The only loss in league was to that great USC team. It was mid-November. It was tight in the third quarter. I think I saw you were lined up wide. I mean, what do you remember about that moment in that game in particular?
Well, before we even get to that game, what's funny is that play wasn't even in our playbook. That was a scout team play. We ran as Washington State in practice earlier that week, and we torched the defense on it. And so our coaching staff decided to throw that in the playbook and said, hey, listen, if we get an opportunity, probably after a turnover, or if we get some really good field position after a special teams play, we might go with this. And so I'm standing on the sideline up in Pullman, just freezing my tail off the entire game, just trying to stay warm, knowing that I might get this chance. And I remember Darius Sanders got an interception, and they quickly said, get in there. I already knew what was going to happen, and lined up on the outside. And as soon as I knew that I got on top of the safety, there's a chance that this ball was coming my way, and everything just slowed down as that ball was in midair. And kudos to Dennis Dixon. That was an absolutely perfect throw. And as soon as you catch it, it's over in a blink of an eye. There's nobody in front of you. You're running past the goal line. You score. And it was such a rewarding feeling because the team was so accepting of me trying football that year, and every single player on that team was so accommodating, and I felt like I was finally able to contribute in a meaningful moment during the season. This wasn't just garbage time where you're getting a little catch here or there. To make a play to put us up two scores in a pivotal game so that we can maintain a chance at the BCS game or getting into the playoffs there was really special to me. And to this day, I don't know where my life would be if I didn't make that play at that moment and what it meant for the rest of my football career and the doors that it opened. So it's just one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities and plays that you're able to capitalize on and look back on very fondly, even though the HD isn't too clear on YouTube now.
No, that's the best part about it. I had to get the screen bigger, and I was like, is that two wind up wide? But no, you want to talk about the call, the execution, and the result. You know, there's some perfection for you. Jordan, let's get to this past NBA season. So you're a studio host. Then the lockdown hits. They announce a restart. Kevin Calabro decides to step away. It's late July. You got Portland and Memphis in the bubble. So, A, had you ever done basketball play-by-play? And what do you remember about that first game? Because it was a wild one.
A, I had never done basketball play-by-play. For me, a lot of my play-by-play experience came from esports and working several events for Nintendo over the last couple of years. But I've been so familiar with the game of basketball.
Right.
I've been playing it since five. Obviously, my dad, a coach for several decades, and being at floor level as a ball boy for years and years and years, and then a player. It wasn't difficult to pick up as far as the lexicon of the game. It was really just the rhythm and flow of a play-by-play announcer. And I remember I just studied a lot of former play-by-play announcers, current guys as well, too, picked their brains on several phone calls, recorded myself just doing play-by-play to a previous Trailblazer game and kind of critiquing a few things there. And when we got started in the bubble, we knew it was going to be a bit of an odd experience with no fans there and watching a game on a monitor. But kudos to our whole broadcasting department for the job that they did in order for us to call these games. And I felt like at the end of the day, when we go back and watch these games, we were able to do a terrific job of really capturing everything that we could down in Orlando. And getting a chance to work alongside Lamar for these games as well, too, was just a piece of cake because he's so great to work with. So for me, it couldn't have gone any better. And I wasn't nervous going into it. I was just excited because I knew it reminded me a lot of my experience playing football for the Ducks, that you're not going to be perfect out the gate, so don't put that expectation on yourself, but instead be excited about learning things along the way and getting feedback and just finding two or three things each game you can improve upon to see where you're at game one versus game 15 of this experience. And I was glad to say that I felt like I really improved during those times.
You know, of course, you mentioned Lamar, who's been on this show many times, not only an Oregon State player, but literally you guys went head-to-head, I think, for 3 years. So how much extra fun is it not only working with a terrific guy like Lamar, but you throw in a little of that duck versus beaver juice?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people have asked me about that, what it's like to sit down with an Oregon State guy and call these games. And I tell people, Lamar and I were probably the two last guys in the conference that were going to talk smack during a game, yep, to be honest. We're two guys that just respect our mothers and go to school and go to bed early with a glass of milk and eating our vegetables. So there wasn't really a lot of smack talk at all. We'll have some fun, of course, and we've had a couple of wagers before as far as if the Ducks win, he has to do this, or if the Beavers win, I have to do that. And I do have to say, he kind of got the best of me because Oregon lost at Gill Coliseum a couple years ago in their first contest against the Beavers for that season. And the bet was I had to wear an orange tie to the next Blazer game. And trust me, I don't own a single orange tie. And so Lamar gives me this bright highlighter orange tie to wear. And I'm thinking, okay, it's just one game, no big deal. Well, you can guess what photo was used when they made the announcement about me becoming play-by-play that kind of hit the news wire. It's me in this goofy orange tie that I would never be caught dead wearing if it wasn't for me losing a bet. So he definitely got a chance to get the best of me in that case.
That's great. We're continuing with Jordan Kent. You know, in recent years, a lot of us here in the Northwest wondered if perhaps Damian Lillard got his proper recognition. Then last year, the run to the West Finals got more folks on board. But would I be accurate in saying his performance in the bubble, especially that wild five-game run with everybody watching, kind of cemented his place among the game's elite?
Well, it really is remarkable. We are absolutely spoiled up here in Portland. We are watching a first ballot future Hall of Famer and one of the all-time great point guards in the NBA play right now in the prime of his career. And that's what makes this job so enjoyable, is you're watching something special every night with what he's doing. And with Portland being a smaller market, and it's not in an LA, it's not in a New York, oftentimes you do want the national media to really pick up on what Dame is doing, how special it is. But I truly feel like because the spotlight was on these bubble games, I think the rest of the country that wasn't aware of how good Damian Lillard really is got a chance to see it. And I think by getting that bubble MVP and doing the things he did, he really cemented himself as, in my opinion, the top point guard in the league, as far as someone that you want as a leader on your team, has no weaknesses in his game whatsoever, and somebody that just has the right character on and off the court. There's nobody else I can think of that you would want ahead of him in that situation in the league. And it's just so great to see, because Dame is every bit as good of a dude as advertised. And oftentimes you'll hear Lamar say he's the best leader in sports, and that's 100% true. And it's just an honor for us to have him on our team and to have him be so loyal. I mean, you look at the league nowadays and all the guys that are maybe jumping ship to another team. We've heard time and time again Damian Lillard say, hey, I want to do it here in Portland. And I think that really speaks volumes not only to the fan base here, but especially his teammates as far as his commitment to being great and being great in Portland.
Another thing I wanted to get to, you know, it was a great run, but because they had such a sluggish run up until March, so they wind up right in the middle of the pack, not a lottery team, but still you could make an impact at 16. So specifics aside, I mean, what's been the buzz about what direction they're going to head in for the draft? A wing player, a backcourt depth? What are you hearing about, if not necessarily who, what they're looking for?
Well, we haven't been hearing much, to be honest, and we do know historically Portland has been very active on draft day, whether it's been trades to move up or trades to acquire second-round picks. The Blazers have always seemed to kind of do something on draft day, so it will be exciting to see if they decide to do anything, because it's an interesting situation where you have a pick that's relatively high for a playoff team, and I think it's a pick that's much higher than really the talent equates to on the Blazer team. I mean, this is a team that's usually accustomed to picking in the 20s because of what they were able to accomplish by going to the Western Conference Finals. But when you get a pick in the teens and it's because you had some guys that are injured that are now coming back, it's exciting because you do get within striking range of moving up to the top 10 if you are wanting to deal. Or if you do need to back down, you've got an attractive pick for somebody to move up and take that and maybe give you some assets. So for the Blazers, I wish I could sit here and tell you they're going to take this guy from here no matter what. But if you look at this team, there's obviously a need for maybe some additional backcourt depth and another long-rangey defensive frontcourt player that can play multiple positions. And then obviously shooting is at a premium in this league. So anybody that can come in and shoot the ball very effectively with the way that the Blazers can space the floor is going to be valuable. But at the end of the day, it's anybody's guess, especially with the way that the draft has been this year. And so for Portland, the nice thing is you've got some options sitting there, and it's a much higher pick than what you're accustomed to based upon the talent level on this team.
Couple final thoughts for Jordan, Kent. A couple football seasons, you know, obviously with this new job, you've hosted Talking Ducks, you've watched Justin Herbert, you've heard the input from Anthony Newman and Joey Arrington and Mr. Fentress, then he's off to the NFL, and of course, at a certain point, we didn't know when he was going to debut for the Chargers. Now look where what he's done. So what's your read on how he's taken to the pro game?
Well, it's great to, first of all, still be doing Talking Ducks. I'm really excited just to continue my role with NBC Sports Northwest. We're going on our 10th season now, which is great. I usually count them based upon who the quarterback for the Ducks is at that current time. But when you look at Herbert, you're just very excited about his poise that he's showing. And, you know, he's a rookie, and they're losing games right now, but you can't blame him for the reason why he's losing games. And I saw this incredible stat. The only two teams in the league that have not lost a game by more than 7 points are the Chargers and the undefeated Steelers.
Wow.
So they're right there in every single game, and their best defensive player in Derwin James, arguably, is out for the season. So you're talking one or two pieces away from flipping the switch on a lot of these games. And when I see Herbert and the numbers he's putting up, I think he's the first rookie quarterback in NFL history to put together this long of a streak of multiple touchdown games in his debut. The future is right there. I mean, what else do you really need to see if you are a Charger fan, if you are someone in that front office? You really don't see a glaring weakness from him. And to go this long without having a dud of a game or an egg of a game that you're going to see from rookie quarterbacks from time to time, that speaks a lot to me as far as his consistency. Because one more thing we also saw at Oregon, too, was, you know, the receiving group he had last season, those guys certainly worked their tails off, but they weren't quite developed into NFL-caliber receivers. Now you're seeing what he's able to do when he has a true number one with like a Keenan Allen or a great tight end in Hunter Henry, and it's awesome to see him be able to continue to expand his range and make these types of throws with that kind of talent catching the ball also.
Lastly, this Duck football team, you know, obviously off the Rose Bowl win, insane circumstances, having to replace Justin the Line, the opt-outs, there's been some injuries. So what's your take on the first two where they've found a way, Jordan, to not only be 2-0, but kind of pulling away, kind of cruising home down the stretch in both games?
One thing Joey Arrington pointed out on Talking Ducks last year, and I thought this was a really astute point, this current Ducks regime is going to beat teams the same way a really good NFL team beats teams. I think gone are the days that we're going to see these 56-7 blowouts where they just run away from everybody. This is a team that's built that just sort of wears you out throughout the game. You've seen that these last 2 weeks against Stanford and Washington State, where eventually they just keep coming at you and the other team finally breaks. And for Oregon this season, just get the win week in and week out. As you said, there's so many variables, and you've got so many guys that opted out this season, understandably so. But you're seeing Tyler Shuck really start to develop throughout each game as just a second-year quarterback. And the fact that he's such a great dual threat already, you see this offense underneath Moorhead that is just so expansive and so creative. You really don't feel like this offense is getting stuck in the mud at any point in these first two games. I'm really excited for what Oregon can do this year. And the fact that they went up to Pullman and had three turnovers in the first half on the road and still found a way to turn that game around and just pull away from the Cougars down the stretch, that shows a lot of grit and toughness to me. And I don't know if that's a game that Oregon would have won in years past. So for me, I've seen a lot of positives the first 2 weeks, But at the end of the day, you're just keeping your fingers crossed. And number one, they stay healthy. And number two, you can play a complete schedule right. because the way that things are going in the Pac-12, my goodness, who knows if you're going to play any given week.
No, we live our lives week to week. Jordan,
right.
I really appreciate your time. I know I can speak for lots and lots and lots of Duck and Blazer fans who are really excited about you now getting the gig with Portland. So congratulations on that. And, of course, a little more importantly, on becoming a new dad again. I'm glad you and your family are doing well. Be safe, and obviously I look forward to catching up again down the road.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me. Always great catching up. Let me know if I can hop on any other time. You stay safe as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jordan. Be well.